Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody needs one night to go out in style. Try on a little spotlight for a little while. I'm talking fancy where the food ain't fast. Two forks, two knives, Bud Light and glass. Rent us a car, show up late, valet the shrine. Credit on my cards, money in the bank, at least for tonight. Keeping my shades on. I heard he talked Timberlake. Cause I'm smooth when I move. I'm out of my league but confident. I've had high life but not like this. A good old boy can get used to keeping my shades on.
Well, I just groomed Titan. He's looking very cute.
He's looking so fancy now. He's ready for his debut on Snapchat later.
Yes, definitely. Well, I have to give him a bath after this, so yeah.
Let me just say this. If y'all are not following Carrie Ann on Snapchat at this point, number one, what's wrong with you? And number two,
Patton is pretty much the star of Snapchat right now.
He is. He's the star of the show. Everything that he does is adorable. Snapchat at all.
You should face swap with Titan on Snapchat.
I have.
Yep.
I can't do it like a direct face swap because he moves too much, but I did do a face swap with his picture, and I totally feel more myself, which is as Titan's mom.
That's great.
I think it's on his Instagram, and yes, he has an Instagram, at Titan the Pup.
Cody, you should do a face swap with your dog on Snap.
I'll do that. If she'll sit still long enough, I'll do it.
I'm not going to judge the fact that the dog has an Instagram, because my cat used to have Twitter, and my friend Melissa's cat her dog has Twitter and Instagram, like, so it's okay. I'm not judging.
I'm obsessed with him, and it's actually a public service, because the people that want to see the constant pictures of Titan, they can just follow him, and then it makes it so that I don't have to, like, every single picture that I'm obsessed with, my Instagram doesn't turn into Titan's Instagram, because when I first got him, I wanted to post a picture, like, every 2 seconds of him, and I was like, I'm probably going to get on people's nerves. So,
and that's one of those things where it's like, that's one of those things where it's like people and their kids, like, they think everything their kids do is cute, but, like, we necessarily don't because they're not our children. So it's the same thing. Like, I used to do that. I used to post so many cat pictures, and then I was like, no one cares. Like, no one thinks it's as cute as I do.
Exactly. That's why you're using their own Instagram so that people that do care can still embark on the cuteness. Exactly.
Yep.
Very well played.
As we were talking off air, you've been a very, very a busy girl lately, haven't you?
Uh-huh. Of trying to be.
Trying to be. And back to social media again. If you're not following this girl on social media, she has like a show pretty much every night. It's supposed to be like, hey, I'm playing so-and-so tonight at so-and-so time. It's just like every night I'm like, this chick's killing it in Nashville right now. This chick is killing it.
A moment, Steve? Like, do you ever get to relax?
Yeah, sure I do. It's not every single night because I don't think my voice could tolerate that, but I try to do, right now we've pretty much been doing at least like 3 or 4 shows a week, just depending on the schedule. This week I have some co-writes that are in the evenings, so I'm not playing out. I played out last night for a songwriter competition, and then on Sunday I was at Puckett's, and then on Friday I was at The Row. So just trying to play as much as possible, just because, you know, every time I play, it's an opportunity to, you know, get new fans and new people interested in my music. But also it's really good practice. Playing on stage it's not like a skill that you can have unless you consistently play on stage. Like there's really no other way to learn, like, what works, what doesn't work, you know, being comfortable, not being nervous. Like, there's no way to get over any fears you have about being on stage or, like, discomforts about being on stage unless you're there. So I just try to be there as much as possible. And I notice that I really don't get nervous anymore. I just get excited, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't get nervous anymore either, but I have, like, no, like, you know what, I'm at the point where it's, like, why be nervous? Like, why not just enjoy it, and if it's great, it's great. If it sucks, it sucks. That's how it is. You can't, like, control,
like, a lot of times in the places that you play out in Nashville, like, there's some places that are really engaged, and people are very quiet, and they want to hear you, and then there's other places that are loud, and, you know, it's like a loud bar, so generally, I just concentrate on playing to the people that are paying attention, because even in a room of 20, if 20, you know, 15 people aren't paying attention, 5 are. So you play to those 5 people, and then eventually everybody else comes around. So, yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. I play at The Row a lot. Mike is really great about having me out there. He's a big fan.
I love
so he's always open to booking me there, and Marcus over at Puckett's has, you know, been a big champion of my music. So I think we're going to host some nights together at Puckett's in Nashville coming up, which should be a lot of fun.
I've never been to either of these places, and Cody has. I'm so jealous. What the heck?
They're super fun. Puckett's is huge. Puckett's is very well known. I saw Brooke Eden and Jesse Lee there when I first moved to town. So I was like, whoa. And Brett, what's his name? I can't sleep without you. Brett Young. Yeah, I was around Brett Young, Brooke Eden, and Jesse Lee.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was like the first week I'd moved there, and Brooke told me about it. And so I went to see her, and Brett was there, and Jesse was there, and it was just an insane round. It was a beautiful show. And so I was like, wow, Puckett's is awesome. Like, the stage, the way it was set up, everything was so cool. When I was asked to play there, it was very, very exciting.
All right, that's it. I'm moving to Nashville. That's it.
I want to go. Okay, this is so, so funny to me, but, like, in a few weeks, I think it is, like, 3-4 weeks, the cast of Days of Our Lives, obviously not the whole cast because they wouldn't fit, are going to be at Wild Horse in Nashville, which I thought was, like, so funny.
Oh,
I was like, that's cool. That's not normally what you expect, you know? And it's, like, a ticketed event, but I wanted to go. But I think we went, like the same week we're going to the beach because it's, like, right before Labor Day. Like, I think it's, like, just that week of Labor Day. Like, the week before. But I will not be in attendance. But all my friends are, like, in the group chat are, like, we're going. Who's going to Nashville? Who's going? And I was, like, well, I know where the place is. Like, I've been by the place, been there, but can't go. Sorry.
Yeah, the Wild Horse is great. I went. My first time at the Wild Horse, I went and saw my friends at the Springs played there about a year or so ago. And I went and saw them.
I was going to go to that, and I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't end up there. But anyway, no, actually, I think that was the weekend that Carrie Ann was in Nashville, maybe, that you went there, because I was supposed to go, and I didn't.
I believe it was, yeah.
But yeah, I saw that they're going to all be there, and like, we were all calling, like, everybody was taking turns calling the Wild Horse, because we wanted to know which actors, because it hadn't been released, and it just said, like, cast members, select cast members, and everyone was like, well, I'm not going if so-and-so is not going to be there. So we all, like, took turns, like stalking the Wild Horse, and, like, the other girls that live near Nashville would, like, drive there and, like, ask about it, and, like, obviously we didn't really get anywhere. But finally, we found out, but it was so funny because we were all, like, stalking this, like, trying to find out who was going. Yeah, they were like, we don't know yet. Like, you have to ask Days of Our Lives. But eventually, they did they did tell somebody that they knew something. So we did learn something, but it took us forever.
While we're on the subject of music at this point, you just had a recent EP release party, didn't you, Carrie Ann?
I did. I had one on Friday and one on Sunday. And the EP was released on Friday.
Yep. Talk a little bit about the EP. It's called Don't Miss, and I obviously have it. So
I have it too.
Talk a little bit about it.
I haven't listened to it all yet.
It's got three brand new, fully produced songs on it, and then Cactus as well as those three.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two bonus acoustic tracks on there as well. When I was putting it together, you know, a lot of things go into decision as to how many songs you're going to put on it, what songs are going to go on it. When I started that process, I knew that I wanted Don't Miss on there. That was the first one that I was positive about. It was the one that I had, like, shared the work tape, and I'd been playing out around town and constantly was getting good reviews and, you know, like, in shows, it would be everyone's favorite kind of a thing. So I knew that that one was one I wanted to include. And then I wanted an upbeat, fun song. I wanted something that's easy listening, that's just fun and summery. And I had a few in the running that I had written from that. But we ended up going with Beach Bonfire because it was about to be summer. And it just felt like it fit. And it was my producer, Joey, it was his favorite. And he kind of found a groove in it that I didn't really know that the song had. So he made it, like, 100 times better than it actually was before we recorded it. So we decided on that one. And then I knew I wanted another upbeat song, and I wanted it to be a love song. And I had the title Lighthouse in my phone for a really long time, and then me and my friend Angela just ended up writing it. And once we were done with it, I felt like it would be the best addition to round out the new songs, because it was very upbeat and it was very energetic, but it was also like kind of me and my boyfriend's story. So I wanted to include that in the EP as well. And then I had so many songs that I wanted to record, but you know, you only have so big of a budget when you're an independent artist. So I decided that I wanted to include kind of like an intimate feel with the acoustic tracks. And just, you know, one, it'll show range as far as, you know, look what I can do. I can, you know, do these really great fully produced, but, you know, it's also, I also have this, you know, more raw side to what I do as well. And it kind of gives a taste of a live show and things like that. So we used the acoustics, and it was, you know, beneficial to the budget, and it allowed me to put more songs out there instead of just, you know, three brand new songs, you get five.
Right.
So
right.
I knew that I wanted Unwritten to be on there, Unwritten song. I had written that song with my friend Matt, like September of last year, I think, in the fall. Mm-hmm. And it had just consistently been one of my favorites. Like, I'd go through and listen to a bunch of my work tapes, and it was always a standout, and it was a very emotional song. And I felt like that depth, you know, was something that I definitely wanted to include. And then I also wanted to put on an upbeat acoustic. You know, I didn't want it to just be, you know, I didn't want to end the album with two, you know, depressing acoustic songs.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I thought one was plenty. So
I had a few that I felt like were good enough songs to stand alone acoustically. And my mom's favorite was Say It. She's loved that song forever. Since I wrote it, she's been obsessed with it. So it was between that one and another song, and we just decided to go with that one because it felt right as far as how it sounded, just with the acoustic guitar without any producing and everything. So that's kind of how that decision-making process happened. I co-wrote on all the tracks on the EP, which is something that was important to me.
And, you know, as an independent artist, you can go out and look for songs by number one hit songwriters. They're available, like, they're there. But I just never feel like someone else could tell my story as well as I could, you know? I feel like as a songwriter, it's important for me to write on all the songs that I was going to have produced. So I was very excited, and I'm very proud of how it came out. I've gotten really good reviews so far. So I'm just trying to get it to as many people as possible at this point.
Awesome. You know, and when you were talking about acoustic songs, I'm a sucker for that acoustic sound. I'm just a sucker for just like a singer and a guitar and maybe a box drum. And that's probably why I love the Rose so much.
I think,
like you said, it shows a singer's range more so than a fully produced track. I think it shows a singer's range more.
Well, you can't hide.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't hide in an acoustic track. There's so many places for a vocalist to hide in a fully produced track. Like, you can overproduce a fully produced, and you can, and when I say overproduce, I mean with the auto-tune and the filters and the synthesizers, and, you know, you can do so much to a vocal on a fully produced track to the point where it could sound absolutely nothing like what someone sounds like when they're live. Which happens a lot. You know, you hear a song on the radio and you're like, gosh, I love this song. And then you hear someone sing it live. You're like, wait, what?
And sometimes they're produced to the point, sometimes songs are produced to the point where when it's live, it's not even the same because they can't sing it live. You know, like,
right. Yeah.
Songs, they're produced
exactly.
to
it
a point where
anything.
You can't actually do that live.
Yeah.
Especially with,
so
like,
the acoustics.
Oh, go ahead.
The acoustics were, like, there's nowhere to hide. And I purposefully didn't let them use any auto-tune or filters. I was like, you know, you can give me a little reverb, a little echo on it so that it fills a little bit more. But other than that, it's pretty much done live. And I did them in only, like, one or two takes. We didn't do a whole lot of cutting and pasting because I wanted it to be that kind of natural, raw feel. And I was really excited about how they turned out.
Yeah, I like that much. I like the tracks that are done like that much better. Like, I was listening the other night to, like, Patsy Cline's Greatest Hits, the whole album, and I was a live version of some song was on there, and she sounds the exact same in a live version.
Oh, yeah.
Even
well,
though you can
then,
hear the crowd.
They didn't have all the bells and whistles.
Right, of course, but, I mean, like, I was amazed over the fact that, like, you can literally hear, like, it sounds the exact same other than the crowd making noise. And I like that her tracks are really simple and, like, most of them really clean, simple, like, because you don't need that. You know, you can enjoy
it. Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot easier. You can't hide
behind
that stuff.
Back in the day, you had to have talent. I mean, you had to be able to sing. You had to be able to perform.
Right.
And you had to be able to do it more than one time. And you had to be able to do it in one take rather than singing it 25 trillion times and having someone cut and paste the best words from each of those million takes,
right.
You know? And now technology is amazing because, you know, it's, you know, you have to have auto-tune. If you want a radio-ready song, they're going to tune your vocals. And it's not even if you need it or not. It's that it's almost like another instrument now. People expect it. So if you don't have auto-tune on you, then you don't sound like you're radio-ready. It sounds rough, which is what's so funny about it. Like, Carrie Underwood is one of the greatest vocalists in country music right now, and they tuned her vocals so hard on her records, but she still sounds amazing live, which is, I think, the most important thing. Like, they're going to tune your vocals. That's just how it's going to be.
Right.
But you have to be able to still impress while you're live and have people go, oh, okay.
Oh, right. Like, Carrie
doesn't need the tuning. It's just there because it needs to be there for the market right now.
Yeah. Like, Carrie Underwood on her album, on her Greatest Hits album, too, I think it is, she has, like, two work tapes from, like, the writing sessions of, like, Last Name and I don't know the other song. And you can hear, like, she still sounds like that because, like, a lot of people, like, accuse artists like that of, like, oh, you don't really sound like this or you don't really sound like that. But, I mean, it's on there.
Yeah.
Like, you can hear the tape that was taken with an iPhone. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She can actually
Absolutely.
Sing, you know. I like when they do that. I like being able to hear that.
Work tapes are telltale signs because work tapes are, like, right as soon as you're done writing the song. So you don't even have time to live
right.
with it.
Yeah, like, you know what? If it sucks, it sucks.
Exactly.
I'm on going to put you on the spot here, Carrie Ann.
Okay.
And I know this is like, picking a favorite, but do you have a favorite song on your EP?
I have favorite songs for different moods. So, like, my favorite to work out to is Lighthouse. Like, I don't want to listen to anything else but Lighthouse on the EP while I'm in the middle of running on the treadmill or lifting weights. I don't know what it is. I think it's that heartbeat drum in the back. It's like, boom, 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 but it gives me pumped up. And then I think Don't Miss is another favorite of mine. Beach Bonfire is fun. It's cool. I think I've listened to it so many times that I'm not, like, aching to listen to it anymore.
Yeah.
That one seems to be the biggest hit with, like, younger generations. Kind of got that. It's such a light feeling, and it's something that everybody can relate to. You know, it's hard to get a 9-year-old to listen to Don't Miss and go, oh yeah, I know that feeling. You know, like
right.
It's just yep. not really relatable for really young
right.
girls, but the younger generations know exactly what it's like to be free during summer. You're out of school, you're with your friends,
mm-hmm.
you're not looking for romance, you just want to have a good time. And so I think Beach Bonfire is the biggest hit with the younger generations. And I love playing it and seeing people get excited about it that have heard it already.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that one for a different reason. But I think Don't Miss is probably my favorite song of the fully produced. It's hard because Unwritten Song is one of my top favorites that I've ever written because it's
mm-hmm.
so deep and it's so honest. And it's sad, but it's real, you know? And I'm really proud of how unique it is. I haven't heard the idea of someone's life ending too soon being like an unwritten song before. So
right.
I'm proud of the idea of that, and that makes me love it even more that it hasn't been done already. But I think, I don't know, if I had to choose, it'd probably be Don't Miss. Maybe.
Now,
maybe.
He just asked you to pick your favorite child. I know. He's horrible like that.
I know it is. It is like, I mean, they all have a special place in my heart, and they all have a special story behind them,
that.
And they're all associated with, you know, like, so many other things other than, like, exactly what they sound like. So it's hard to be unbiased as an artist. Like, you love all your songs. That's why it's like, I always play songs for other people because I'm like, I think it's good, but I wrote it, so obviously I think it's good.
Right, like I'll write something and send a screenshot to Cody, and I'm like, I think it's great. And he's like, it's good. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I wrote it, so I think it's awesome. But,
yeah, like Santi helps a lot with that. I have like my people that I send my songs to like right after I write them. So like Santi will hear it, my mom will hear it. My friend Todd will hear it, and I'll play it for my friend Marika if she's, like, in the car with me. And I'm like, okay, what do you think of this? Especially it helps because Santi is not musical, neither is my friend Marika. Like, they love music, but they don't have any, like, musical talents at all.
Right.
So they can be really unbiased, and they're, like, my typical audience opinion, you know? Like, a music lover, that someone that's really musical that writes or that sings, that, you know, does something in music, they listen to things differently than the mass majority would.
Yeah.
So it helps me to play for crowds and play my work tapes for those people because I get an opinion of what an audience would think of it. And a lot of times I'll be like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever written in my whole life. And I play it to Santi, and he's like,
Cody will write something. Cody, like, we wrote something a while back, and he was, like, writing, and he would send me screenshots, and I would, like, sing it in my head, and I was like, that doesn't sound right. Like, this has to go, or this has to be this. And then finally, I'm such a control freak. This is so bad. I got out, like, a piece of paper, and I basically rewrote the same. Like, I had his same words, most of them, but, like, I kind of moved things around because when you're writing it on paper, it goes together, it rhymes, whatever. But when you sing it, like, sometimes the words don't come out. Like, they don't flow. And I was like, no, you, like, I'm such a control freak. It was so bad. I was like, no, Cody, like, we need to do it this way. And then I sent it to him, and he's like, I love it. And I was like, well, I'm glad because so do I. But, like, he would send me this. He's like, how does this sound? And I'm like, it sounds great when you read it, but when you sing it, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't work.
Yeah, that's something that in co-write you have to, like, be really aware of because that's, like, one big element because we'll be, like, sitting there going back and forth and we'll have what our melody is going to be and we know how many syllables should be in it, you know. And we'll be like, we'll like, say it out, be like, okay, what about these lines? And I'm like, okay, but does it sing? And then you sing it and you're like,
too many syllables, or not enough syllables.
Or, you know, no. Like, sometimes certain words just don't sing right. Like, I don't know what it is, but just depending on, you know, when you sing something, if it just doesn't feel right or if it doesn't flow right, like, you just have to make those minor tweaks because you don't want to be singing a
and
song that doesn't roll off your tongue.
When you sing some words, it just doesn't work. Like, those words, no matter where you put them, those words, like, just, it's not happening. And it's
we always joke about long words. We always joke about long words and how hard they are. It's like, we'll be like, I really want to say this, but it's like 20 syllables, and you're like, no, that's stupid when you try to say that.
Yeah, no, you can't say that. No, but he'll send me them, and like sometimes the pronouns, like they work when you write it down, or the little words, like they all work, and then you try to sing it, and they kind of trip over each other, and I'm like, we can't do this. Like, we need to back it up. We need to, like, get rid of this, like, strip that out because it's not working for me. But I'm such a control freak. Like, he'll start writing something and send it to me, which he knows is going to happen, so, but he keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, wait, change this word. And so I'll change, like, one word, and then I get to the point where I have, like, a running tab, and finally I just get out paper and, like, write the whole thing. And I was like, how about this?
Unless
and he's like, oh, that's wonderful.
Unless
well,
it's
all about collaboration. I mean, that's the whole point of co-writing is,
yeah.
You know, writing with someone else, even if you end up switching a bunch of stuff that they did, like, you wouldn't have come up with that exactly how it was
right.
on your own, you know.
Right.
Awesome.
I've pretty much had your iffy on repeat since I bought it.
Yay!
Anyway, but,
oh, that's awesome.
But,
yeah, we're...
But,
I must confess, Cody. Oh, wait, go ahead.
For reasons that both you and I know, Carrie Ann, Say It is probably my favorite song on the EP. For reasons that we both know.
I love it. I've listened to that one, and I've listened to Unwritten Song, and I've listened to Cactus, but I haven't listened to the other ones yet. And I listened to that one first just because Cody's like, you have to. And
Can I tell why that's your favorite? I won't say about who it was about.
Yeah,
anything.
Tell. I already know. But
so Cody
yes,
was telling me about a girl that he had a crush on, and how he wasn't sure if he should tell her or not that he, you know, had this crush, and it got me thinking about, you know, like, I've been in a relationship for a very long time, but there was a time when I wasn't. And, you know, when you like somebody, it's so scary to tell them how you're feeling, because when you don't tell them, then you kind of get to keep that hope alive just in case they don't feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of nice to keep that hope alive that they might feel the same way. But if you never say anything, then you'll actually never know what they were thinking, or if it could have been a possibility, even if you don't think it could be. So what I was saying, I was like, you know, I always say no regrets, just say it. And he was like, okay, you know, yeah, you know, it's good advice or whatever. And then I wrote it down because I was like, that's kind of cool. I haven't heard a song like that before. And I brought it to my co-writer, and I, like, he just played something on the guitar, and I just, like, the whole song just, like, fell out. Like, the whole chorus, like, fell out of me.
Yeah.
And then the verses, we kind of set it up to be more, you know, country music loves a good story, so we set it up to be like a story. But the whole idea of, like, no regrets, I'm just going to say it, like, really, that was all Cody.
And then Cody told me that this had, like, this went down, and I was like, I want to hear it, because you sent him the work tape or whatever, and he would not send it to me. I was so pissed.
That's
I was like,
because
Cody,
I told
I'm
him
your...
not to send it to anybody.
Right. I was like, I'm your best friend. He's like, yeah, but she told me not to.
Gonna...
I was like, but who am I? That's what I said. I was like, who am I going to tell?
You know.
But I was so mad at him. It was hilarious.
If y'all haven't already noticed, if y'all tell me, or any of my friends tell me something in confidence, or send me something in confidence, it goes no further. So,
well, here was the
so,
thing.
That's
good.
I'm
talking
to you,
Cody.
Yeah, it was like.
Worked you hard on that,
no,
too, so I'm proud of you.
I did. Because here's what happened. So I already knew, like, the situation before he ever told you. And I was like, Cody, I told
you
to say it, too. I was like, I want to hear it. And he's like, she made me promise. And I was like, it's me. Who am I going to tell? And he's like, I'm not. Yeah. I was like, Cody, please. Because it was driving me nuts that I didn't hear it. And everyone, like, you guys had. I was like, dang, please. I was like, what do I have to do? And he was like, no. And I was like, fine.
You know,
but
you
nothing,
know.
Wait, just for the record, guys, that doesn't mean that I tell everyone's business. It just means I wanted to know because you guys did.
But let's y'all know how extremely loyal I am. So
obviously,
so I wasn't gonna break it.
I was like, "But I'm your wife."
I appreciate that, Cody. That's huge. That's awesome, dude.
I was literally like, dude, I'm your wife.
Of course.
And he was like, shut up.
Of course, like I said. Of course. And Carrie Ann sent me that a work tape, and I was like, I played it, and I was like, wait, I inspired this? Holy mother.
And then he
you
told
know.
Me about it, and I was like, wait a minute, but I want to hear it. He was like, well, I wasn't even supposed to really tell you, but I'm telling you. He's like, but she said I can't share it with you or
perfect.
With anyone. And I was like, dang, like, I want to hear it.
That's
I was
so
like,
funny. So when you got the EP,
man.
You were like, that was the first thing you listened
yes,
to.
Yes, that's like the only, like, that was the first thing. Because here's what I did. So Cody and I have an iTunes family where we can share purchases. So I, like, always
oh, cool.
creep his recent purchases. And I was like, oh, wait, I forgot. That song's on that EP. So I, like, went and, like, as soon as I saw it on the thing, because it tells me who buys what in our little family, I was like, I have to have it, too. So I was like, oh, I have to have it. And then I listened to it, and I was like, oh, I get it now. But I was so, because I knew, like, the whole story, and I was like, I feel left out of the group. And he was like, shut up, you're not all, you know what, you always know everything, so it's time that you got left out for once. Like,
it's time you get a taste of your own medicine at this point.
But I worked on him for a long time over it, and then I gave up. I was like, he's not going to tell me. So
that's amazing. Well, I know I can trust you now, Cody, for sure.
Which,
oh,
I just
absolutely.
Want to
There's
everyone,
no question about that.
If people tell me stuff, I wouldn't go and, like, tell other people. Well, okay, I don't do that, but it just happened that I wanted to know this time. I wouldn't do, like, if I was, okay, I wouldn't have told Cody,
yeah,
and I don't think it happened another way. Yeah, I wouldn't do that, but at
yeah,
the same time,
do that.
I want to know.
But,
I know, right? You want
yeah,
to know,
y'all.
But you know that you wouldn't tell if it were you.
Yes, this drives me nuts.
That's awesome. Well, the secret's out. Out on iTunes.
But we've been having way too much fun, y'all. I think we've kind of run over our time a little bit. So.
Oh, well. We still have 10 minutes to sing before
but,
we're kicked off.
No, but anyway, I think what I'm going to do now is I'm probably going to let you go, Carrie Ann, so me and Em can kind of run through our announcements and stuff about upcoming shows or whatever. So, but... thank you again for doing this today. It's always great to catch up with you.
Thanks so much, you guys. It's always fun talking with you.
And this reminds me, Carrie Ann is, wait a minute, Carrie Ann is behind on the latest, like, group chat gossip, so I have to, like, clue her in after this. So, like, I'm going to hop in the group chat later. Because you're behind.
Hey, and,
so I'm going to catch you up.
Hey, and Carrie Ann, the next time I'm in Nashville, I'll definitely look you up because I have to meet Cotton at this point. I've got to meet that dog.
Yeah, ditto.
You gotta do it. You gotta do ditto. It. He's the major celebrity in the family for sure.
I'll let you go and I'll talk to you later, okay?
Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, girl. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, girl. Bye. I have never had so much fun on a radio show. It's just not even funny.
Right? I love when she comes on the show. We have so much fun. No, I was going to say this while she's on, but we were running out of time. Like, the whole thing
yeah,
with Say It, like, she's so right. I've literally, like, and now I'm, like, out of school and stuff, but, like, there were people in high, or there was, like, a guy in high school, whatever, that I would like, and I would, like, never say anything, because as long as you never say anything in your mind, it's like, oh, it's all good, because, you know, if you don't know, then you assume that he likes you back, whatever. And I remember one of these guys that I liked back then that I even, like, went out with once or twice. Even then, I was like, I don't think he's into me. Well, now it's, like, been, like, 5 years or whatever, and I'm friends with this person. And he was like, are you stupid? Like, we literally went out. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, high school me
yeah, exactly.
was, like, never going to say anything because I was like, I don't want to know. But she's so right. I'm so different, like, now with, like, you know what? You might as well say it because if you don't, then, you know, you're never going to know. And it took me all that time to find out.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And the story of Say It is out now. So it's out there in the
yeah.
universe.
Y'all can hit up the DM if you want to know the details. I'm just kidding.
Funny. Okay. We don't have that many announcements except for one big one. August 20th. Can you believe it's been 4 years?
Well, for me, it hasn't. I've been we've been work married
yeah,
for almost
saying,
three.
I mean,
so
The show has been around for 4 years.
I can't believe, like, okay, since I started the show, because it'll be 3 years for me in March, I have been in literally, like, I've lived in three different cities since I started the show. I lived in two since the first one. Like, when I started the show, I lived
in three different states, actually.
I've lived in two different states since then. It's been so long. I have graduated high school since then. I have, like, learned to drive, got my license, like, all this stuff. Yeah. It's been a hot minute since this show, since we started.
I think I'm going to probably let you go, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, talk to you later.
All right, bye. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our interview with our lovely friend, Miss Carrie Ann Jean. Carrie Ann, and like I said, I've known Carrie Ann for a couple of years. She's a doll, and she's just one of the greatest. And I know she's going to do huge things in Nashville and with her career. Like I said earlier, we don't really have that many announcements except for the 4 year anniversary show on August 20th. And I'm trying to get everything set up for that. So I think with that, I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.